I love it. I just think it's just great. Got some rain last night, but the ground was so dry that it just, I mean, it just soaked it up. There was no water on top of anywhere. But we needed the rain, didn't we? We need the rain. But thank you guys so much for your faithfulness, giving. God bless you. We serve a great God. Aren't you glad that God knows the future? I'm glad I don't know all the future. But that's why we trust him and put our faith in him. But I do know this, that God has everything taken care of. Amen. If we'll put our trust in him. Amen. I want to share with you something that I really, really, it just got a hold of me. Divine restoration, total recovery. We need God's divine recovery. And some of you may be going through some things and lost some things. But I really believe we're in a time that God really wants to restore back to the body of Christ what the enemy has stolen for so long. I really do. I believe in the end times that we're living in, that God is equipping us for the last major thrust before he comes back. God is preparing us for his coming. He's preparing us for the greatest move we've ever seen. I guess in Washington, this last week, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. Started eve of Wednesday, Thursday, Feast of Tabernacles, all the way through this week. And people are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles when the Israelites came to Jerusalem. And they would make these little booths and huts that they did in the wilderness, and they would live in them for 7 days for the celebration. And that's when Jesus came, and he stood at the well, and he said, if there's anybody thirsty, come after me. If anybody's hungry, he stood up and did that at the well and told the people that he's the water of life. But I believe during this time in Washington, they had all this tents set up, and every state was representing intercessory prayer for this country. They were all there in Washington, and every state had people there in a tent, and they interceded for, I think that they were going to be there for the whole week during this time. We're praying for this nation, praying for our country, praying God's power and his presence just to come and visit us again. We need a visitation from the Lord. How many can say amen? We need a visitation. But I want to share with you about God's recovery. 1 Samuel 38, let's look at this. And it said, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? The Lord answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail and recover all. Now, one of the things I want to show you here is David. King David at that time was running from Saul. I mean, Saul was out to kill him, destroy him. He was jealous of David. But David had 600 men that traveled with him. And he got tired of it, so he left and he went into the land of the Philistines. And when he went into the land of the Philistines, he joined up with King Achish. King Achish with the Philistines. And King Achish lived in Gath. Well, that's where Goliath was from. And his brothers were from Gath. So here's David going back into the Philistine country. And actually, he was actually fighting against Israel, in a sense. He was, because of Saul and what Saul had become and what he had did to Israel. But when David went in there and he asked the king, he said, King, he said, I'm tired of running. I need a place to hide. And is there any place I can go? And the king, Achish, gave him Ziklag to live in. So all the 600 men took all their children, their families, and everything, and they moved into Ziklag, which at that time was inside of Palestine. Now, Palestine now has changed, which was a part of Egypt at that time, or that country. But what has happened is that's where David was living. So he was traveling with the king. The king loved David. King Achish loved him so much, he bragged him up and said, David, there's no flaw in you. And he couldn't brag up David enough. So he traveled with the king, and they came against the Amalekites and all the different people. So as David was traveling with them, the Philistines were going to fight against Israel, against Saul. So David was with King Achish, and the Philistines said, hey, hold it, king. We don't want him and those Jews fighting with us against their own people, because if we do that, they could turn on us and they could surrender us to them. So they fought with the king on it, and finally King Achish says, David, I'm sorry, but he said, you can't fight with us. So when David left and went back to Ziklag, the Amalekites had already looted the town, burned the town, stole the families, the children, everything. They plundered everything because they were going through the land of the Philistines and they were plundering all these places. And that's the verse we came up to, that David's men were so angry and so upset for what happened that they were ready to kill him. They were going to stone him to death. And then David come and he shared this, and here's what he said. He said, he inquired, shall I pursue the troops? Shall I overtake them? The Lord answered, pursue, you shall overtake them without fail, recover all. Now I want you to see something. One of the most frustrating things in life that I know of is losing something of value. How many know? How many have lost things of value? How many have ever had them recovered again? Some things you just don't recover, but there's some things that can be recovered again. And I remember one time when I was in Bible college, and I had shared this years ago, that I had a Thompson Chain Bible. It was the first Bible I ever bought when I became a Christian. I bought it. I saved up my money. At that time, it cost $50. I had my name engraved on it. It was my Bible. It was something that I took to Bible college, and I went and studied out of that Bible. And I was at chapel. Now, get this. I'm at chapel, and somebody stole my Bible in a Bible college. It was gone, and my heart was broken. But I said, Lord, I'm not releasing that. There's some things I've released. I've had money stolen from me. I've had everything stolen from me from companies I worked for. And I just released it and let it go. But that one, I said, I'm not releasing this, Lord. There's no way I'm going to release this and say, Lord, bless this person with that Bible. He needs it more than I do. So I prayed about that, and I would not let it go. Now get this. Over 10 years later, I prayed that whoever had it, his bed would be concrete every night. He just isn't going to sleep. His life would be miserable until he gave me that Bible. Now, I don't know. I was a young Christian at the time, didn't really know what I was praying, but I wasn't letting it go. Over 10 years later, I get a call late at night, and there's a guy on the end of the phone, and he says, I have your Bible. I need your address, and I'll send it to you. I got that Bible back 10 years later, but I got it back because I wouldn't give up on that because I wasn't going to let it go. But there's things that we've all lost that we just pray, God, you can make it up. And I want to share this. There might be things in your life that you found so precious to you that have been lost or stolen by someone, even Satan himself that has stolen from you. Now get this. It can be your peace. It can be your health. It can be some financial security thing that was stolen. We've all probably had things financially stolen from us. I have. When I lost $1,500 from a guy I worked for, I mean, I needed that money. I worked hard for it. I never got it. But I released it when I forgave him. And I said, I release everything you owe to me. I just let it go because it wasn't worth it. It could be a relationship. It could be family, it could be anything that the enemy has stolen in your life in the past. Now, regardless of how small or how big it is, people, I want you to write this down. God desires to bring restoration and recovery to your life. That's what God wants to do. Now, let me say this. There are some things that you're not going to recover. But let me say this. I believe in the God of the new beginnings. Some of the things that are painful, but God will restore even better. Did you hear what I said? Even better than you had before. If you will let it go and let God. Some things we hang on to. I hung on to that Bible, but I wasn't letting it go. But there's some things that you just got to let go and let God do what he needs to do in the situation that you may be in. King David of Israel knew all too well about pain and loss during this time. Once he returned home from the battle, he found the city, like I said, it had been looted, burned with fire, and even worse, his family was abducted with his wives and his children. They were gone. Even the 600 men, everything was gone. Now, I want you to see something. 1 Samuel 36, you think David was happy about this? No. David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him because of the souls of them that were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, I want you to see something. These men are angry. They're bitter. We followed you, David. We've did everything. We've been faithful, and you, and this happens to us? Distress means extreme worry, extreme sorrow, extreme pain. It means to be pressed in every side. It means like it's a never-ending thing that's going on in your life. Now, let me say this, people. Sometimes the choices we make, yes, it's our own fault. But there are times that it just seems like the enemy just won't let up. And it seems like you lose ground, you lose ground, you lose ground, and you keep losing ground. And David felt like this. He ran for his life. He's the king. He's going to be the king of Israel. He's the man that Samuel came and he anointed with oil and said, you will be king of Israel out of all his brothers and everybody else. He was just a kid. But look what it took him to go through to get to the destiny that he was heading to. It wasn't all of a sudden that Samuel anointed him and said, you know what, David? You're king, so just go and take the position. Are you kidding me? He was running for his life because the people wanted another king. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:8. Here's Apostle Paul talking. And he says, for we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about the affliction and the oppressing distress which befell us in the province of Asia, how we were so utterly and unbearably weighed down and crushed that we despaired even of life itself. Do you know that Paul had a death sentence on his life? They were trying to kill him when he was in Asia. It was like there was a hitman out to get rid of him. And everything that could go wrong in Paul's life was going wrong. It was the worst time that he'd ever had to go through, besides being shipwrecked and beaten and stoned and everything else. But the King James says that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, inasmuch that we despaired even of life. How many have ever been there? How many have ever felt that way? Some of us have. We've been there. Some of you wanted to take your life in the past. I've heard stories. You were so discouraged, so depressed that you were ready to commit suicide. Well, this is what happens to people when they lose all hope. They give up. And they just end their lives. The Passion says all of the hardships we passed through crushed us beyond our ability to endure. And we were so completely overwhelmed that we were about to give up entirely. Wow. Apostle Paul, Are you kidding me? Why would... You're the apostle, man. You're the one of the greatest apostles that ever walked the earth. But he was a man like you and I. He felt what we felt. He was human. And he went through a tough time. That's why David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord. David had to get away and get alone with God. When sometimes people, we face these things in his life, you don't need people around you. You need to get alone with God. People can't fix it for you. Only God can fix it. Amen. They can comfort you. They can speak words of encouragement. But you've got to get alone and encourage yourself in the Lord during this time. And that's what David did. He got alone and encouraged himself by speaking to himself the promises of God. I can see David going like this, Lord, but you called me. Lord, you anointed me to be king. I'm not just a shepherd boy. I'm a soldier. And you didn't call me this far to fail me, God. I know that you called me because you have a plan and you have a purpose for my life. You have a destiny for my life. And he probably began to encourage himself in his covenant with God. He was taking God's word and he was reminding God of the covenant and encouraging God. Lord, I'm not a loser. I'm not a castaway. Lord, I'm not this or that. I'm your child. And he began to encourage himself and strengthen himself in the Lord before he made any decisions. He had to wait on the Lord and get in his presence. Psalms 27:14. I want you to hear this. Wait on the Lord. Be of what? Good courage. You want to get some courage? You got to wait on God. And he shall strengthen your heart. David wrote this. He knows. That's what he had to do when they were ready to kill him. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Listen to God. The word wait means to bind together. It means to be entwined. It means to be twisted together as one. And it answers it in the passion. It says, don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. That's what waiting on the Lord is being knit together with him. Being in his presence and serving him. It's like a waiter waiting at a table. They're taking care of you. They're taking care of your needs. They're waiting. That's what we need to do in God's presence. Be brave, he said. Be courageous. Never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. Isn't that God? He said, I'll never disappoint you. Never. Then Paul continues, and this is what he said from what we read before. He goes into 2 Corinthians again to 1:8. He said, we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to even endure. And we thought we would never live through it. You notice sometimes when we go through things, we think that we're never going to get through it. Oh, God, how am I going to get through this? But we always do. God always finds a way and we get through. He said this, verse 9, in fact, we expected to die. But as a result, here's what I want you to see. This is what Paul says. We stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God. That was his answer. When I give up and I surrender Audie Claremont to the Lord and I quit trying to do it myself, God says, then I will do it for you. When we begin to give up, let go, and let God, that's when God will show up and he will make it happen. He will strengthen you. He will give you everything you need in order to do it. He said, we stop relying on ourselves, learn to rely only on God who raises the dead. Now get this. Paul said, if they kill us, God can raise this up too. That's confidence. Now, we happen to die, Lord. You know it's not over yet. You can even raise the dead. That's what he was talking about. That's confidence in God. But he had to realize, Paul had to realize, I got to quit doing this myself. I've got to rely on God in order for God to take care of it. Verse 10, and he did rescue us from mortal danger. And he will rescue us again. God will do it always for you. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. That's our God. No matter what you're going through, no matter how you feel, God will rescue you if you rely on him. See, we try to make things work. We try to make things happen. We try to fix it ourselves. We try to get everybody else to fix it. And I have found it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I have to have God fix it. There's some things we just can't fix. There's some things that God can't fix. Did you hear me? But he's always got something better. I've made decisions and choices in my life that it's gone. I mean, God didn't raise that thing up, but he built something new and greater through that whole process. You see what I'm saying? There's some things that because of man's choice that even God is not allowed to do. That's why David encouraged himself, strengthened himself in God. Then after he did that, he went before the Lord and he said, God, what do you want me to do? Now, David could have been cocky and said, well, we're tough. I got 600 men. We'll just do what we're going to do. We'll just go out there and do it. That's not what he did. Because Israel did that so many times and they got defeated because they never asked God what his plan and purpose was for that situation. Now, remember Jericho? The people could have went, 2.5 million people could have went against Jericho and eventually got in the walls. But God said, no. We're going to do something different. We're going to get the band. We're going to get the musicians. We're going to get these people, and we're just going to march around the wall 7 times. Once a day for 7 days, and the last day 7 times around the wall. Now the Israelites, and he said, I don't want you to say a word. Keep your mouth shut. See, it's our mouths that get us in trouble. Now, if God wouldn't have told them to keep their mouth shut, they'd go, oh, this wall is so big. What are we going to do? Oh, God, what are you doing, man? You're making us walk around this wall every day, around this wall. Why don't we just attack it and just beat it with hammers and get it down? God had a plan. His way. Finally, when they shouted, the last time they went out, they shouted, it says that the walls came down. And to this day, God says no one will ever rebuild those walls again. Every time somebody tried to rebuild it, there was a curse on their life. You go to Israel today, those walls are still down. Never got rebuilt again. But see, God had a plan. That's when they inquired of the Lord what they should do, and Joshua was being obedient to that. So he said, God, what do you want me to do? God said, pursue, and you shall surely overtake them and recover all. Now, I want you to look at 1 Samuel 37. David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray you bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought him the ephod. What was the ephod? Why was David asking for the ephod? It was the priest's job to wear the ephod and require of the Lord himself. This is the ephod. The ephod is the outer garment over the blue. That's the linen ephod. And then there was a breastplate on the ephod. Now, let's look at this. Exodus 28:15, when you read that, it says, then with great skill and care, make a chest piece to be worn for seeking a decision from God. Now, get this. Make it to match the ephod using finely linen, woven linen embroidered with gold. What's gold represent? Purity. With blue. What's blue represent? Eternal. Heaven. What's purple represent? Royalty. Represents royalty. What's scarlet represent? The blood, righteousness. These were woven into the garment that David asked for, okay? When David prayed and asked the Lord what he should do, this is what God told him. Now, I want you to see something here. What was in that, this is just a quick history. What was in that breastplate was 12 stones of different beautiful stones, onyx, crystal, whatever, representing each of the tribes. So they sewed this in this little breastplate that was part of the ephod, okay? Then they took two stones, and on each stone they engraved the names. On one stone, 6 of the tribes. On the other stone, 6 of the tribes. And then they put that into that ephod. And then they had 2 other stones that went into a pouch behind it against the heart. There's a whole typology with Jesus in this one. And the priest would stand before the Lord, and in the stones that were in the pouch against the heart were the Urim and the Thummim. There were 2 stones that they used that God would communicate to the priest. David goes and he grabs this, and he puts the thing on. Only the priests wore that. But remember, David was king, priest, and prophet, the same as you are. You're king, priest, and prophet. So he puts this on, and he inquires of the Lord. So I was looking this up. The Urim, the one stone of the Urim, means light. Well, that reminds me of the light of God's word, because it will give you all the truth you need to know what God wants you to do. And the Thummim, the other stone, means perfection. So what did they do? When they went before the Lord with this ephod, it determined to know the will of God. That's what it was. God spoke to him. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it through the stones. I don't know if there were walkie-talkies in each pocket, say, yes, Lord, breaker 1-9 in this side and breaker 1-9 in that side. But there was something that God set up for them to discern what God's will was for that time. And that was in the priest. So that was a little historical background. Let's move on, okay? You can look that up and read that yourself. So when David prayed, he asked the Lord what he should do. Write this down. First thing, pursue. God said pursue. There are some things, people, you cannot avoid forever. You have to go after it and get it if you want it. Do you know that things just don't fall on you, but you got to go after it to get it? Well, Pastor Adi, I'm waiting for a job. I'm waiting for the phone to ring. It'll never ring. You better start putting resumes out there. You better start putting your feet out there. And then inquired of the Lord to open the right door. But there's some things you can't avoid forever. You've got to go after it. You've got to go after the Lord. This is what David did. He said, Lord, I'm going after what belongs to me. How bad do you want it? Sometimes you got to sacrifice self, and you got to go after it in order to get it. Amen? So here's what happened. Philippians 3:12, Paul said this, I press on to lay hold of grass and make it my own. Paul said, I haven't got a hold of it yet, but I press on to lay hold of it myself. Sometimes you got to pursue, press on, and get a hold of it. God, I'm going to get a hold of this thing. I'm not going to let this thing defeat me. I'm not taking no for an answer, Lord. The next one is, write this down, overtake. Overtake. Sometimes you've got to get ahead of the situation before it overtakes you. Amen? Sometimes you just got to head it off at the pass. You got to get ahead of the situation before it gets ahead of you. Some things we've let go too long and it cost us. How many know I'm talking about? Why didn't I listen, Lord, and do that when you told me to? I've done that a lot of times. You got to get ahead of the situation before it overtakes you. Romans 8:37 says, no, but in all these things we prevail completely. We prevail completely through the one who loved us. King James says, we're more than conquerors. It means to overcome way beyond your means. You are overcomers in Christ. Turn to somebody and say, I'm an overcomer. Say it like you mean it. You're an overcomer in Christ. The third thing that he told them to do is to go recover. He said, pursue them, overtake them, and recover. You and I cannot afford to lose anything to the devil. We have to reclaim by faith what is ours. What belongs to us? Healing belongs to us. Blessings belong to us. Everything that God has belongs to us. But if you don't want it bad enough, you won't get it. But there's some things that you got to reclaim and recover by faith. It's just like that Bible. I was not going to let that thing go. It cost me too much money. I said, Lord, I'm not releasing this. I want this. Joel 2:23. Let's look at this. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he gives you the former or early rain in just measure and in righteousness. And he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain as before. I can't wait till the latter rain hits. Amen? It's coming. And the threshing floor shall be full of grain, and the vat shall overflow with juice of the grape and the oil. Now get this. God's speaking to Israel because they've been in bondage and captivity for so long. Sometimes our lives are in bondage and captivity, but God wants to restore back. He said, I will restore or replace for you the years that the locusts have eaten. I believe that. I believe that. I know there's some things that won't be recovered. There's just some things. But there's things that you may not recover, but there's things that will be restored in greater, greater, greaterness. And that from the Lord. I may have lost some things that I can never get back, but God gave me way much better. See, that's why we trust God, because we hold on to things that we think are so important, and God says, I got a better deal for you. Let it go. Because it'll keep you in the past if you don't let it go. Because I've got something great for your future. I've got something better for your destiny. If you'll just let that thing go, and let me do what I need to do. And so we got to learn to release and say, Lord, I don't understand. This has been hard. This has been painful. I can't believe this. But God will always make a way. Just like the time that I lost that $1,500, a friend of mine, Christian friend, took my money, my last check I needed. I said, honey, I'm going to take you to Hawaii. When I get this money, everything was getting paid up. I'm going to take you to Hawaii with this money. Never got to take her for a long time. All of a sudden, I didn't get that $1,500. Now, in today, people would say, well, $15 ain't much. It was back then. And it still is today. It's a lot of money. I was bitter. I was angry. I was upset. I let it go. Because I knew if I let it go, God would replace it and even make it better. And he would bring it back to me. And God has done it so many times. Over and over and over has made that up. There was a time I said, Lord, you've made this up more than I could have ever dreamed. By even having a better job, a better paying job, a better contract, whatever it was, God made it up. And he brought it to me. This attitude of confidence and restoration of all that God has promised to us should be reflected in everyday life. every day. Now, I want you to see 1 Samuel 30, 18. David got back everything. Everything. The Amalekites had taken. He rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great. Son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He also recovered all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, the plunder. This plunder belongs to David, they said. Not only did they get back what they owned, they got back everything the Amalekites stolen, all the plunder, and it became theirs. See, when you're in God's business, God will always bring it back much better. When the devil steals from you, God will always bring it back much better if you will trust him. He's a big God. God is about to turn your tears into rejoicing, people. You will recover all, he says. I declare that whatever was lost, stolen, or abducted is about to be recovered in Jesus' name in our lives. I believe that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord completely. Do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you. That's what David did. Lord, what do you want me to do? And he will lead you in every decision you make. Why is it that we inquire the Lord after the damage is done? Everyday life, we should be in communion with God, saying, Lord, I know you've given me wisdom, you've given me understanding, but there's some things I need your guidance and your direction on of what to do. God will give it. God will give it to you. He will show you. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Every decision. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. Isn't that the truth? There's some things I just don't know, but God does. Like King David, we should always be willing to listen for correction and instruction. God knows how to recover all for you. God can make it easier and shorter by cutting a straight path before you. When that path has been crooked and messed up, God will cut straight through it. The key is seeking the Lord with all your heart, people. As you seek him, you will receive an impartation of grace and courage to pursue. Don't give up. This is your season of divine recovery. I believe that. Do you know that this is 5778 in the Jewish calendar? I keep talking about New Year. I mean New Year. I'm not talking about January. I'm talking about the Jewish calendar, Hebrew calendar. 5778. 7 always means perfection, but 8 always means new beginnings. And I believe this is a year for God's people, that everything that the enemy has stolen, some things we can't replace, but there's some things that God can replace with something better if we will trust him and believe him and let go of the past and move on to your future. Surrender it to him and allow God to do what he needs to do in our life. God is your deliverer this morning, people. He's your restorer. Through the cross, God has purchased your freedom and your victory. God has, his blood has redeemed us from destruction, atoned for our sins. And you know what? God has already made us whole. We need to declare that any and every good thing that God has ordained for our lives, that the enemy has seemed to steal, to sabotage, to hinder, or delay, is going to be restored with interest. God restored it back to David. Do you know what David did with all the plunder? And they said, this is David's. This is David's. Nobody touches the plunder. David said, no, I want to share with everybody. And God blessed him so much with the plunder that he gave it to all his friends in every part of Israel. He gave it to kings, he gave it to friends, and he distributed all the wealth to all these people. That's the heart of a king. That's the heart of a priest. And that's the heart of a prophet, is to give and give and give when you're blessed. We need to declare that the cankerworm, with the cankerworm, the devourer, must release everything, provisions, contracts, opportunities that God has given us in the name of Jesus. Satan, get your hands off of it and release it. We need to declare that all losses drop now in Jesus' name. Shut the door on the devil. Amen? You got to shut the door. The Bible says don't give place to the devil, because if you give him place, he'll take a mile. He'll steal it all. And that's what the Bible says. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the thief's job. But God said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. More abundantly. If he's ripped you off, I can make it better, bigger, and more in your life. We got to trust God. Amen? We got to let it go and let God. Let it go and let God. I believe, people, that God wants to restore, he wants to recover, and he wants to make things new again in our lives. Can we believe him for that? Can we trust him? Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to honor you, to praise you. Father, many of us in this place have had things through our lives. Yes, Lord, we've lost things. We never found some things again, but you always had a way of making it up and even making it better. Father, there's just some things that we just have lost. We've got to let go and let you be God in the situation now in our lives. Father, we have to forgive. We have to release. We got to let go. We got to trust you that you have everything taken care of. Lord, you even said don't take thought what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, what you're going to have. Don't take any thought for these. But seek first the kingdom, your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be added unto your people. Father, this morning we thank you. I bind the devil. I bind the destroyer. I bind the thief. I bind everything he has stolen, everything that he has ruined, everything he has sabotaged in your people. And I bind him up and cancel his assignments in Jesus' name. And Father, we release those things. We surrender those things to you. Because you know what to do. Lord, we thank you for your restoration in our lives. Thank you for restoration in our marriages, in our families. Lord, in our children, in our grandchildren. Thank you for restoration. Lord, we thank you for these things. We declare and decree your word. Satan, you don't have any rights anymore. In Jesus' name, you get your hands off what belongs to God's people, what belongs to us, what belongs to me. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that the angels, we release the angels to do what we have prayed this morning, to bring back, to restore, to recover, to bring healing, restoration and wholeness in every area that the enemy has meant for harm. Father, we thank you that we release those things of the past, we let go, and we invite you to make things better, more abundant in the future. Thank you, Father. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.